Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Hi there, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon.
And I am Dr. Jerry Mixon.
That's right, and we do not have a Dr. Umat today.
Along without Dr. Umat today.
That's right, but we have lots of phone calls and questions. We're going to dive right in. Headed to beautiful Edmonds, going to take a ferry, Dr. Mixon. We have Judy from Edmonds on the line. Hi there, Judy.
Hello, Judy.
Thank you for taking my call, and I appreciate all you do. A big, huge thanks. Anyway, on Tuesday, what happened, I came down with horrible chills and a cough and a nasal congestion. So when I took the home COVID test, it showed positive. So yesterday, during my doctor's appointment, she said that I had a small amount of wheezing during my deep breathing, but otherwise the breathing sounded good. But she prescribed for me Paxlovid and an inhaler. The pharmacist had concerns about interactions of taking the Paxlovid and inhaler together, but the doctor responded back that I'd been on a low dose of the inhaler, increasing amounts in the bloodstream, she said, would not be dangerous. And she said that the interactions are considered more theoretical than anything else.
She's right.
Anyway, yesterday I took my first dose of Paxlovid, and right now, I'm feeling really good. I don't feel sick at all, except that my voice is different. My hearing's kind of different. Other than that, I feel good. But I have not picked up my inhaler.
Okay.
My question is, do you think with my symptoms, I would really benefit from using an inhaler?
If you're responding that quickly to the oral medications, you're probably not going to need the inhaler. The inhalers are kind of interesting with this because this was started by a doctor down in Texas back during the early days of the epidemic or the pandemic. And he was using inhalable steroids to decrease inflammation in the lungs of his patients and was swearing by wonderful results. And we didn't have the other medications yet. So, I mean, that was basically about the only thing that we had that was working. So whether she's giving you an inhaled steroid or a sympathomimetic is my question. Do you know the name of the inhaler they were giving you?
I wish I had that with me.
Okay, but you don't offhand. That's all right.
Samples of ones. What's it called? I'd have to look it up because
that's all right. Don't
pick it up yet because I didn't want to have any interactions and but I don't want to get pneumonia and things. So if this would help prevent like getting pneumonia and all that, then
well,
maybe it's worth looking into.
There's two very different classes of inhalers that are sometimes used. If she heard wheezing, she may have used a sympathomimetic, which is a drug to basically dilate the airways and make you breathe more freely. Or it may have been a corticosteroid inhaler, which is designed to decrease inflammation, which was very popular in the early days of the pandemic, and I think probably works pretty well.
Advirha. Does that sound familiar? Advair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
What type is that?
Hang on one second. Advair. Yeah, it's a fluorocorticoid. Yeah, so It's a steroid inhaler designed to decrease inflammation.
Oh, okay. So you said that the steroid one maybe wouldn't be as desirable to use right now?
No, actually, as I was saying, in the early days of the pandemic, we had nothing else. Just the high-dose steroids alone were giving people very good results with COVID lung problems. So, yeah, so no, it's not as popular now because we have the oral drugs. But, you know, if your doctor wrote them both, I'd go ahead and use them both.
Because with this Paxlovid, you know, I thought maybe that would do it, but
The problem with the Pax is that people often get what we call a rebound. They'll get better, and then when they finish the course of therapy, they relapse and get a second clinical case of the COVID. And so she's giving you the steroid to help prevent that relapse.
Oh, okay. So when the pharmacist had a concern about interactions, he probably didn't realize maybe the dosage was going to be a small dose. Do you think that
probably
that would
yes? Yeah, you're not going to inhale or you're not going to absorb a whole lot of a steroid from your lung. You're just not. And the direct effect on the lung seems to be pretty beneficial. So, okay.
So I guess I'm looking for long term. So it sounds like
right.
It would be good to take both of those.
Yes.
And then as far as I forgot to ask her about my eating and when I can do regular exercises and all that. I know I have to isolate for 7 more days for seven
yes.
days. But
yep. You have to isolate. But you can exercise as much as you feel up to it. Exercise does not aggravate COVID.
Oh, okay. Good. And just eating regular healthy foods?
Yep. Regular healthy foods. Okay.
Wonderful. Well, you answered all my questions. Thank you.
Right.
So I'm
going to
go
you.
And get that inhaler today.
Yep, you go get it. You know, your doctor wrote it for a reason. Sounds to me like you got a good doctor. Listen to her.
Well, this is the first time I've seen her. You know, this is sort of an emergency thing they were trying to get me in. It wasn't an emergency, but they wanted to get me in soon so that you have to take this medication within like 5 days or it's not effective.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. So anyway, well, good. I will go ahead and do that. And thank you again for everything. I learned so much from your show. You're just amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Judy. We hope you'll feel better soon.
Thank
wow.
you.
Okay. Get well, dear.
Oh, you know, my voice is kind of weird and my hearing might be affected for a while, right? Because I feel
yes.
like my hearing is kind of off.
Okay, yeah. You probably got a little fluid in your eardrums right now. Don't worry about it.
Okay,
have a wonderful time, dear. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon, and we welcome your calls. The phone lines are open right now, and there's a room for you at 206-421-5757. Got a text from Jerry who didn't want to call in. Big problem is chronic UTI, constant having a UTI, 65 years old and on antibiotics all the time and taking D-mannose. Is there anything else they can do?
Okay. D-mannose was what I was going to suggest. But you say male?
Female.
Oh, female. Okay, yeah. I was say a male with chronic urinary tract infections is just rare
very
as hen's
rare.
Teeth
no.
and you
got
to worry what's going on.
Yeah. Female, 65. D-mannose, they're taking that and on antibiotics all the time.
Yeah, we don't want her on antibiotics all the time if we can possibly help it. Oh, golly gee. Okay.
This reminds me of my mom, and she had this so many times constantly her last 2 decades.
Yeah. A couple of things. One, is the question is, are they ever actually totally clearing it up, or is she getting reinfected? Okay. Because that's two different things. Sometimes with these chronic infections, the bug has developed resistance to whatever they're using, and it never really totally clears, and they think they're well, but there's still bugs in there, and they just start growing again, and you relapse. And the other reason would be if indeed you clear it, but then you get reinfected over and over. Especially in older women, this is the more likely pattern.
Okay.
Because older women tend to have descents of the vagina, the uterus and ovaries. All the suspensory ligaments are getting lax and everything starts to want to fall down and out. And that opening to the bladder, that urethra opens right at the top of the vagina. And so you've got a situation in which bacterial contamination from the vagina or even from the rectum can get up to the urethra. And so in those people, what I have done occasionally is we treat them, we get a urine culture to make sure we've actually cleared it all up, and we start them on topical antibiosis. We don't give them antibiotics per se. We give them things like a dilute iodine solution, a provodine iodine, a weak solution that they rinse off their perineum so that from the pubic bone all the way down to the rectum, whenever they urinate or defecate, we take that wet and rinse off all the way across the urethra, down across the vagina, down across the rectum. And the iodine is really good at killing almost everything down there. And that minimizes the risk of recontamination of the bladder through the urethra.
Okay.
So step one, you want to make sure you've actually cleared the infection. So at the end of a course of therapy, she needs to go into her doctor, do the wash with the dilute provodine iodine, but also get a culture and make sure the infection is actually totally cleared. Because if it's not totally cleared,
It'll come back.
Ugh. She's still got the bugs there and they'll just multiply. Okay. A lot of these bacteria will double every 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Okay. You can knock it down 99% and that 1% will be right back by the next day.
Now, one of the things, like with my mom, she wasn't actually even emptying her whole bladder. It was just a tiny bit, and they were thinking maybe that was causing her
issues. Yeah, and we call that residual urine. And again, if you still got bugs there.
That are still there because it's not coming all the
way out. Unless you've killed them all with antibiotics, right.
Mm. And is there anything that you can take for that? I mean, what can you do?
Catheterize the urine.
To get it out.
Yeah.
Oh, but what about a daily?
It's not something you don't want to do very often, although it's easier for women than men.
Okay.
Because your urethra is about a centimeter long, half an inch. The male urethra runs the entire length of the penis. So putting the catheter all the way up the penis into the bladder is a lot tougher than just dropping it through that little half inch opening that a woman has.
Wow. Okay. Watching my mom go through this, you know, for so many years and decades, it was like, and to hear the doctors and pharmacists say, you know, it's something that older women have to deal with.
It is a common problem.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah, female plumbing is just absolute proof that God is male. A female deity would not have designed this.
No. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we're back with Jane and Susan in just a moment. And we have the gallery test coming up at all three of our clinics February the 10th. We're going to give you the details on how you can get scheduled for that in just a moment. Stay right there. Welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning. I'm Lynette here with Dr. Jerry Mixon, and very excited to tell you that we have some more gallery tests happening on one day only at all three of our clinics this time. In the past, we've done it at one clinic at a time. This time, we are doing all three clinics on February 10th in Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. And Dr. Mixon, this is the gallery test, the test for what? 50 different types of cancers, which is amazing. We've not had this test. We've wished it was here.
Yep.
Now it is. It's a screening test.
Yeah, we've had it for a bit over a year in the clinic for our patients, but now we're offering it to anybody that wants it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a great test. Most of our staff have had it, and it's the only screening test we can do with a single blood test that will check for 50 different cancers.
And it's just a blood, like you said, just a blood test.
Now, that, like every other thing done to and by human beings, is not perfect. It will miss some, you know, and there is the rare false positive, but it's the best thing we've got by a long shot. And so I strongly recommend that anybody over 50 should at least come get it done once to start with. And, you know, the company, of course, recommends that everybody have it every year. And if I owned the company, I'd want that too.
Yeah, you'd want everybody to do it every year too. Yes, yes.
But yes, it's the best screening test we've got. And we have found some cancers that people were totally unaware of.
And then what was the next step for them once
news? Well, the next step was to contact an oncologist in the appropriate area. I mean, if it's a GI cancer, we get a GI oncologist and so on. And we get them into therapy. So, you know, or at least get them. I guess the very next step is to confirm the diagnosis.
Okay.
This is a screening test. So if you get a positive for a particular cancer, say a colon cancer or a pancreatic cancer, then we send you to somebody and they do confirmatory tests, and then we get the oncologist involved.
Okay. The Galleri test at all three of our clinics, Tacoma and Linwood, and our brand new beautiful Kirkland facility. You do need to make an appointment for this and schedule your appointment for Saturday, February 10th. And you can do that one of two ways, by giving us a call at 866-86-YOUNG. That's the number we use for our health analysis appointments too. 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go on to our website, which is lmclinic.com, and make your schedule there as well. And while we're talking about the health analysis, we've had callers call in today that have been patients of us, others that have said, you know, I've been thinking about it. Let's see, we've had one that said, I have all the paperwork, I just need to get through it. But you know what? That paperwork is so important. It's the history of your health. So we don't want you to skip anything. It's important.
That's right. Because if we know what life has done to you thus far, we're in a better position to predict where it's going from here. And so the history is extremely important.
Yes.
And then we do the lab tests, of course. And between the two, the history and the laboratory, we have a full picture of where we are now, where you're likely headed if we don't do something about it. And it tells us where we need to start therapy. And, you know, we don't usually attack everything at once, but we look at where your greatest risks are and start there.
We want you to be as healthy as you can be into 2024. We want you to be stronger,
faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and happier.
Absolutely. Here is that number to call for your Galleri test scheduling or for the health analysis that we offer. That number is 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG, or online at lmclinic.com. All right, we are headed not too far away, Seattle. Jane is on the line. Hi there, Jane. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for the program. I learn a lot.
Oh,
and
yes.
So I am 69 years old, and people told me I should really take some vitamins. I'm not really taking anything for a long time. So now I have a calcium, I have a Centrum Matra adult over 50 multivitamin, and I also have a fish oil. And I was told those are very, very important things for me to take some. But after I start taking them, my mouth started feeling very dry. And even though I'm not thirsty, but I feel so dry, I was wondering what's wrong with me or with those medicines. Should I take them together? Or like one person said, you have to have a gap minimum half an hour between each one of them. I don't take a medicine or a vitamin so much at all. So I would like to get some advice from you, doctor.
Okay. Well, first of all, you've got the omegas, which are, of all the things you listed, I think the most critical for a woman your age.
That the fish oil?
The fish oil. All right. That's omega-3 of supplements. And then the best basic one I could give you that I can think of would be one that I actually designed for some of my patients, and I call it the foundation.
Sure.
And you can go on our website, lmclinic.com, and click on the store and just type in the word foundation, and that one will come up. And if you'll take the foundation with the with your omega every day, your fish oil, I think that'll be a pretty good start.
So I don't need to take a calcium separate.
We actually have, yeah, most older people don't need calcium. Yeah, that was back when we thought that those thin bones were from calcium deficiency. And you lose bone from the calcium because of hormone deficiency, not because of calcium deficiency. So you're kind of wasting that one. But for the vitamin E, the balanced Bs, the A, the C, the other things you need, just get Longevity Foundation, and that should pretty well cover that for you. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much, doctor.
You're welcome, ma'am. You take care. Bye-bye.
There you go. Thank you, Jane, for that. And Dr. Mixon, I remember early on in the show when I started, you had mentioned why you have your own supplements and why it was important for you to carry your own and do your own, because there's so much stuff out there. It does get confusing on what do I get.
It does. Well, you know, when I started the clinic 26 years ago, back in 1998, I didn't want to sell supplements. I was still in the attitude that, you know, it was somehow beneath a doctor to engage in mercantile. So I used to give patients a list of what I wanted them to take and let them go to the vitamin store and fill the list.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started finding out as I researched it further that an awful lot of vitamins, even by national brands, what's on the label and what's actually in the vitamin is not necessarily the same thing. It may say it has 100 milligrams of something and there might be 30. And so I said, well, that's, you know, if they're going to take it, I want them to take what I want them to have. And so I went to a small manufacturer and I said, here's exactly what I want my people to have, but here's my rule. The Food and Drug Administration allows a 20% variance in a generic drug from the from the original. I want to be better than the FDA. I want it to be within 5% of what I list. And so I told him, I'm going to, in our contract, I'm going to test every batch you send us. And if there's more than a 5% variance, I'm going to send it back and you have to remake it. Now, by doing it that way, I make sure that my people get what I really want them to have. Okay.
And you know what they're getting.
Yes.
You know where they're getting.
If it says 100 milligrams, I know it's no less than 95 and no more than 105. 5% either way. Because we have to send some back and have them remade, ours can't be the cheapest on the market. The cheapest ones are the ones that they just take whatever comes out of the factory. Because we're very picky about what we get for our patients. Mm-hmm. It can't be the cheapest, but it'll be the best.
So probably no gummies.
No gummies
and no Flintstones?
No gummies, no Flintstones.
Okay. And, of course, all of our supplements are online, and you can get them there.
Yes, you can.
All right.
LMClinic.com.
All right. We have another call to get to, and we have room for yours as well. Here is the phone number. It's 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Susan will take your call right after this break. We'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there. It's Leading Edge Medicine, and all I can think of are those dancing grapes. Remember?
That is exactly what I was just thinking, too.
I was seeing them
dancing grapes.
From a Q commercial many years ago. I'm Lynette, Dr. Jerry Mixon here in the studio, and we are live taking your phone calls today. 206-421-5757 is that number. And just noticed a lot of women calling today.
A lot of heavy women. Yeah,
yeah.
We spent a lot of time early talking about breast cancer.
Yes.
Maybe that's what got
Maybe
their attention.
Maybe that's why. Okay, and we're going to talk to another. We've got Susan calling in from Snohomish. Hi there, Susan. Welcome
Hello,
to the show.
Hello, Susan.
Good morning. And yes, breast cancer, when you had talked about it before, I had breast cancer 9 years ago. And then a year and a half ago, I was diagnosed as a type 2 diabetic. And I heard you talk about PDE5 inhibitors and statins and something, and then there was something else to reduce strokes and heart attacks, especially for those who have my, you know, my history, basically.
Yes, and testosterone. Yeah. And the testosterone.
Testosterone, was that the other one?
That was the other one.
I couldn't remember what the other one was.
Yes, that's testosterone. And robust testosterone in women lowers your risk of a reoccurrence of your breast cancer dramatically, too.
Yes, that was the thing. Is there any kind of research that points me in that direction to talk to my doctor, especially I've had a couple doctors, the general doctor and the one for diabetes, they recommended that I should be on a statin. So I'm just wondering, you know, what are the three things?
Yeah, statin, testosterone, and a PDE5 inhibitor. Those were the three.
Okay. So we had, my husband and I had the Galleri test last year, and I would encourage anybody to take it, to get it, because it brings peace of mind, if anything, you know, So just wanted to say that. And we will be coming patients. It's been a long time coming. Finally, we've gone to see Dr. Nelson and had the stem cells and all that. So
wonderful.
Oh, well, good.
We are.
Well, The papers on testosterone and breast cancer and testosterone and cardiovascular disease with diabetics, I'll be happy to share those. You know, it's kind of interesting. I've got my tech people right now working on a couple of new websites. We're redoing all of our websites, the longevity sites and the Bellamedica sites and stuff and our Relief Factor sites. But one, I'm going to have them, I hope, get built out here in February, early March at the very latest. I'm going to have a series of videos. I have already recorded 25 or 30 videos, and I've got about 50 or 100 that I plan to do over the next year or so. But all of those videos will be on that site. And when you go to the site, if you look at a video, there will also be links for the research papers that support the things I say in the video. So that when I talk about testosterone and breast cancer, you'll have a link, and so you can watch the video, and then you can go back and click the link and pull up and copy the papers that you can take to your doctor.
Good idea.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Okay. You've answered my questions. Thank you very much.
Very good,
Susan. Thank you very much. Bye-bye, Susan.
All right. Enjoy your weekend. All right, phones keep ringing, so we'll keep answering them. 206-421-5757, headed now to Renton. We have Jeanette on the line. Hi, Jeanette. Good morning.
Hello, Jeanette.
Good morning. It's so great to talk to you. I have a quick question. I was outside and I came in, and you talked to somebody about osteopenia. I have osteopenia in my right hip. They did x-rays, they did whatever test to examine the bones, and they said, I have it. And they just say, you have it. They don't say anything to correct it or to rebuild it. Or is it just, I'm 82 years old, so is it just something that's going downhill and I just do as well as I can?
Well, it depends. If you don't mind your bones getting thinner and thinner, then yes, you do that. And if you want to get them fixed.
I don't like that.
No, we don't like that, do we, Jeanette?
And if you want to get them fixed, you come to Longevity Medical Clinic and we'll fix it.
I would love to. I saw you at Caroline Point in the 90s. I love you. I think you do a great job. I even recommend you to anybody or my friends.
Good.
I'm at a point where I live on Social Security, so it's not economically. But I think you do a great job, and I think your prices are correct.
Okay. Well, let me give you, I can give you the things you need to do. Your trick is you're going to find a doctor who will do it for you in your 80s. I don't understand why too many of my colleagues become nihilists once someone passes about 75 or so. You know.
Yeah, they do.
Since I am on the high end of 75 myself these days, I take it as a personal affront. what you need to have are two things for that bone. One is you need testosterone. Okay. Testosterone stimulates the osteoblast. Those are the cells that make new bone. So I give you testosterone and DHEA, dehydroepiandrosterone. Those are two anabolics that increase bone production. On the other side, we give you estrogens because the estrogen slows bone loss. Okay, there's two kinds of cells, the osteoblast that makes bones, the osteoclast that dissolves bone. Bone is not like metal. It's a living tissue, and old bone cells die and need to be replaced. And so the osteoclast goes in and dissolves the old dead bone cell, and the osteoblast makes new ones. And since
behind the eight ball, 2017, I had a blood clot and nearly lost my life. So they took me off of everything. I was on an estrogen patch. And of course, they say that causes blood clots, so they won't let me have it. And I'm on Eliquis. Mm-hmm. I don't like it, but I'm afraid to get off of it because
Eliquis is a very good drug, and don't get off it. Stay on it. The biggest downside of Eliquis is the cost. It costs too damn much.
They've got me on a good program, so I can afford it.
Okay. But the testosterone will help you make bone faster. So you should be on testosterone.
So that's not going to interfere with the other medications I'm on. I also have a pacemaker, so I am on a blood pressure medication.
The testosterone might lower your blood pressure a few points, but not by much.
Oh, that wouldn't hurt.
Yeah. It's a vasodilator. It opens up every blood vessel in your body so that you get better blood flow everywhere. And by opening your vessels up, the pressure will often come down because you're pumping the same amount of blood through bigger pipes, less pressure. All right. Your doctor is almost kind of right and very much wrong about your estrogen, but that's a different issue. The studies showing that estrogens cause blood clots were done with oral estrogens. When you take an estrogen by mouth, you're doing a very abnormal thing. Human beings were never designed to eat sex hormones. I mean, there's no natural source for sex hormones in your diet. You know, where would you get estrogens to eat? Only if you're eating raw ovaries. And that's a tiny part of any diet I've ever heard of, you know?
Yeah.
But what happens is your body, when you were young, your ovaries were producing estrogen and trickling it into your bloodstream slowly 24 hours a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now when you swallow an estrogen pill, it goes down. Your body thinks it's food. You digest it. You absorb the whole thing in about 20 minutes, and you get your 24-hour dose of estrogen all hitting your liver at the same time in one big whack. And that's what causes the blood clots. That big, big dose of estrogen hitting the liver all at once overwhelms the clotting cascade and makes you hypercoagulable. So the risk of strokes and blood clots and pulmonary embolism goes up with oral estrogens. That's why we use a transdermal cream, and by adjusting how much estrogen's in the cream, how much cream you apply, and which skin you apply it to, I have almost infinite ability to adjust how much estrogen is trickling into your body over the entire day, slowly, more like your own ovaries did.
Yeah, when I went into the hospital, I was on the patch. And, of course, they said, oops, no, no longer. And
yeah,
I know
that
just is
because they said estrogen, clot. Yeah.
Yeah.
They said estrogen means clot. But they're wrong because the study was on oral estrogens, and the mechanism is totally different.
Okay. Can I push my primary care doctor on these issues? Or
you can.
The insurance companies just kind of say, nah, don't do that.
Well, the insurance companies can't keep him from writing the prescription. What they can do is refuse to pay for it. Right.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Those are two very different things.
Oh, yeah, they refuse to pay for a lot of things. And, you know, I've had arguments with them, and my doctor wrote them on my blood pressure medication. He wrote them, they want you to try different pills. And he gives
we've been down that road. This is.
Yep. I'll tell you. Hold on for just a minute.
Yep.
Because you're on one of my favorite bitches.
Yes. So, he likes to talk about
right,
this.
Right after this break, I'll be right back.
Yes.
Okay?
You stay right there.
Oh,
don't
you.
Go away. Stay right there, Jeanette. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine.
I'm picking up vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up vibrations.
And good morning. Dr. Jerry Mixon here. I'm Lynette, and this is Leading Edge Medicine. We've been talking with Jeanette. And Jeanette, you had a question about why does my doctor prescribe something and then the
insurance company doesn't want to pay,
for it. That never happens all the time.
Correct.
Oh, boy.
Many years ago, I took one of my sons to New York City. And we went up on the top of the Empire State Building. And as I looked around me on the Empire State Building, I was appalled to realize that every single skyscraper surrounding Manhattan was built by an insurance company.
Mm.
There's the Mutual Life Tower, the John Hancock Tower, the New York Life Tower.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
The richest people on earth are insurance companies. You know, and of course they make their money collecting premiums, not paying claims. You know, they want the money to come in. They just want as little as possible to go out. And so, yeah, that's our problem. And they want your doctor to use the cheapest possible drug. And it's not necessarily the cheapest drug. It's the drug that they get the cheapest. Because it turns out the insurance companies take a lot of those billions and billions of dollars that they collect from premiums – and they invest it in pharmaceutical companies.
Oh, that sell the drugs that they are insuring. Oh, I see the circle of life there.
And so if your insurance company has a financial interest in a particular drug, well, they would prefer the doctor to prescribe that drug. Isn't that strange?
Hmm.
I'm sure it's based all on science, of course.
Well, yes.
Science of the pocketbook. But yeah. And the weird thing is, depending on how their investments are going or depending on who you may change insurance companies. And this drove me crazy when I was a country doc. I would have a patient on a drug and the insurance carrier would call me and say, "Doctor, we would strongly recommend that you change that drug to brand X because we think it's better." Well, it turns out it was no better. It was just a different brand of the same damn drug, but they wanted that brand because they owned it. Well, now, a year or two later, the patient has now changed companies. And I get another call from an insurance company saying, "Doctor, we'd strongly prefer you to change that to brand Y."
Like, wait a minute. Oh, boy.
Because
that's what they've invested in. Yeah, they get that one cheapest. And so, you know, that's the way it works. And you want to know how the world really works? Follow the money. Always follow the money. What can I tell you?
No, I had a knee replacement, and they were going to deny me. The doctor needed some particular type of mechanism, and they were going to charge me $400 for it. And I called and I talked to the office. And anyhow, I got it down to $200. They'd be out of my pocket. And then I got mad and I called the insurance company and talked to a representative there. And I said, "Why are you denying a doctor that is a tool that he uses for this surgery? I don't understand." And so there was a lot of conversation. It came back. They did not charge me for that.
Yeah.
And he was allowed to use it.
Wow.
Good for you.
Yeah.
For you.
Way to go, Jeanette.
Yeah. You know, medicine.
Rude.
Well, it is. Medicine, all aspects of medicine, are a weird hybrid between a priestly calling and a business. And if you pay too much attention to your priestly calling, you go broke and you can't provide the care at all. But if you pay too much attention to the business, you lose sight of your calling. And I have tried very hard in my almost 50 years as a physician to try to keep both in mind. I need enough to not go broke, but I need to take care of the people who trust me with their lives. Mm-hmm. And that's very important.
When you walk, and I'm so appreciative of all the time you give to everyone on your radio.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Jeanette.
I talk to other people and say, just take a little bit of time and listen to him on Saturday. And I've got a few friends out there. I hope you're listening.
Yes. Oh, Jeanette, you're wonderful. Have a good weekend.
Thank you for the call. Bye-bye.
All right. And Dr. Mixon, one call left in Linwood. Rich, thank you for waiting. Welcome.
Hello, Rich. How can we help?
Yeah. excuse me. When I'm doing number one, about a week ago or so, it took to do about, I'm guessing, just 3 ounces, just to get the question out, 3 ounces of fluid with, say, two stops. Lately, I have to push, and I get less fluid during number one.
Yeah.
Like today, it's back to where it was about a week ago.
Okay.
So I'm concerned that there's something going on that could end up totally blocking it.
Yes. It sounds like you're almost obstructed, and you need to get into a urologist and find out why. And in an older man, and judging from your voice, you are not a kid, it's almost always the prostate is just getting big enough that it's starting to compress that urethra and narrows the channel, and it takes more and more pressure to get the urine out. And so you want to get into a urologist and see what's going on. If the prostate isn't too enormous, you may get better flow by just going on something like tadalafil, which is actually an ED drug, but it helps men to pee better. Or if things are really getting shut down, you may be close to surgery. But get in and get it checked, because if you totally obstruct, you're going to be really unhappy. Now you've got an emergency and you're in the ER in all kinds of pain. Okay?
It's been a while that I've been trying to get a doctor. They tell me, well, no, we're not taking any more patients. No, you should just go to the last doctor, or your previous doctor. I said, I haven't had a family doctor.
Yeah, I understand.
Finally, recently found a doctor that would take somebody on Medicare. Hopefully that works out. But I thought I heard you talk about there's something else that you can, maybe it was about.
Well, there are some medications that we can use that will often help. When I started rapamycin, I started peeing much, much better. But, of course, rapamycin, it's a fairly pricey drug. But it's, but PDE5 inhibitors, things like tadalafil, these are actually erectile disorder drugs, but they actually relax the muscles and help men to urinate better, too. So there are some things that a doctor can prescribe that might help short of surgery. But you better get it checked out, because I don't want to have you in the emergency room at 3 in the morning, totally unable to urinate with a great big distended bladder, okay?
Yeah, so, I must be wrong. I thought there was a short procedure that you did in your office or one of your clinics. That was for something else, I take it then?
Yeah, that would be for something else.
I remember you mentioned it also helps you urinate.
Okay, yeah. I'll tell you what. Call us back next week early in the show, because we've got about 30 seconds left. Okay. And those aren't procedures I do these days, but there are some procedures that can help you to pee much better if we need a procedure for the bladder, okay? But
okay,
give me a buzz back next week early.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Monday I'm going to see if I can get that information you're trying to give from one of your clinics. Okay, thank
Sounds
you.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
Very good, Rich. All right, just seconds away from the end of the show today, we do want to remind you the gallery test at all three of our longevity clinics in Linwood, Tacoma, and Kirkland. And it's happening Saturday, February 10th. You do need to call for an appointment. That number is 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or you can go to our website, lmclinic.com. All right. We'll be back live in the studio next week with Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat. You have a great rest of your weekend. Thank you for listening.